Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. As I reflected on this scripture this week, that was the line that kept sticking out to me. How dejected must the already dejected disciples feel after they go back to fishing, the thing they were supposed to know, the thing they did before Jesus showed up in their lives, and they weren't even good at that anymore. And yet there in the midst of their nothingness, Jesus shows up. That's relatable, I thought. I know what it's like when you have been fishing all night and caught nothing. And then as I started to think more about it, I found myself thinking that a lot of my thoughts felt a little familiar. So I thought maybe I've just used this scripture, but I hadn't. Then after some more checking, I remembered that this isn't the only time that the disciples fish all night and catch nothing in the Gospels. It also happens early on in the Gospel of Luke. And I remembered that I had used that scripture, in fact, less than 3 months ago. So don't ever really worry about not remembering what the pastors say, because we don't even remember what we say. But I thought, if I had forgotten, you probably had too, so we could just talk about it again this morning. Because if the disciples are still out there fishing and catching nothing, there must be some sort of truth for us still today in this. Maybe we need to return to it too. Maybe we aren't done with the truth that even in the midst of so much scarcity and despair, that Jesus just keeps showing up. That you can keep fishing all night and keep catching nothing, and Jesus just keeps showing up. Here it's morning and Jesus appears on the shore. Now we as the readers know that it's Jesus, but we're told that the disciples don't yet recognize him. And so Jesus yells out to the disciples, "Children, you have no fish, do you?" Well, Jesus, of course they have no fish, and now they probably just feel worse about having no fish. And so Jesus tells them to just put their net on the other side of the boat. It's no wonder, really, that the disciples don't recognize Jesus at this point, because this interaction doesn't really scream resurrected Christ as much as it does kind of backseat driver. Like your friend who is like, "Well, you should have just turned left back there," and you're like, "No, I know where I'm going," and then you realize that you probably should have turned left back there, but you try to make it pretend like you know that what's happening. But the disciples, they do listen to the mysterious man on the shore, probably because it's not like they had a better idea. And lo and behold, suddenly their net is too heavy with fish to even get back into the boat. And that's when it happens. The disciple that Jesus loved, which is what John refers to himself as throughout this gospel, suddenly realizes that this is more than some guy giving them unsolicited advice. This is Jesus. And so John proclaims, it is the Lord. It's only when they go from scarcity to abundance that they realize that it's Jesus there on the shore. It's only when they go from nothing to more than enough that they recognize Jesus. Peter immediately acts. He jumps into the water and swims to shore to be the first one there to see Jesus. Which is another great scene in this story, because while most of me believes Peter really did want to see Jesus, there's a small part of me that thinks that maybe he just took off from for shore because he didn't want to help his friends lug all those fish back into the boat. And so the rest of the disciples do make it to shore with the fish, and they discover that Jesus had already started a fire to make breakfast. They discover that they have caught 153 fish, which is a lot of fish. At this point, we're told that nobody needs to ask who Jesus is because they all recognize him. Now it is easy to see Jesus. Now they don't need anyone to confirm it for them. They've experienced the miracle, and they have discovered abundance. And the miracle of the fish, the disciples recognize Jesus. And the gift of abundance out of nothingness, the disciples confirm who the resurrected Christ is, and they're able to proclaim, it is the Lord. Now, it'd be easy to move from here to talk about how we too are called to recognize Jesus in abundance. But here's the thing. We often mess this up. Because when we talk about abundance, we're often confused. And we think that God is only there when we have more than enough. So sure, the disciples only recognize Jesus after they catch 153 fish and one casting of the net. But Jesus was there when they had caught nothing. They just didn't recognize it. This is Jesus' MO through the entire Gospels. Abundance isn't what makes Jesus show up. Jesus shows up, and then abundance happens. In that very similar fishing story from Luke, it's almost the exact same order as this story. The disciples fish all night. They catch no fish. Jesus shows up. They catch an abundance of fish. In another famous Jesus and fish story, the feeding of the 5,000, there are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and then Jesus shows up, and there's an abundance of fish and bread. That's a miracle. Actually, in our scripture today, Jesus feeds 8 people with 153 fish. Really, anybody could do that. That's not a miracle at all. But he shows up, and then there's abundance. Now you may be thinking, well, why does this even matter? Well, our calling as Christians is to be the people who proclaim, it is the Lord, like John does in the scripture today. Now, if we think that abundance comes before Jesus, we're going to miss a lot of chances to proclaim, it is the Lord. If we only recognize God in the places where there's more than enough, if we only notice God during times when we look around and think, wow, look at all these people, or all this money, or all this resources, or all this good, or all these fish, we're going to miss a lot of what God is doing in our lives and in our world. So often we don't proclaim it is the Lord because it doesn't look like what we think it should. So often we fail to see that Jesus is actually there, providing abundance in our lives, because it's not material abundance, it's abundance of a different kind. Abundance of love, of grace, abundance of the Holy Spirit. Just look at the disciples in this story. I would actually argue that John could have proclaimed, it is the Lord, way back when they first get on the boat. Because even though Jesus is not yet there in resurrected form, the Holy Spirit is present in the 6 disciples who show up to go fishing with Peter in his grief and in his rejection. Now, this abundance isn't what we might think of. After all, there are 10 disciples who could have shown up to gone fishing with Peter that day. He only gets 6 of them. That's barely a majority. But it's an abundance of care, of support, of love from the 6 who are there with him on the boat. The Holy Spirit is abundantly present with the disciples on the boat. The resurrected Christ is present with the disciples when they have caught nothing, and when they have caught 153 fish. And if they can recognize it, the disciples can proclaim that the Lord is here, that love is here, that grace is here, that abundance is here, because Jesus is already here. Where are the places then? Where are the places in our lives that we need to be proclaiming it is the Lord? Where do we need to be recognizing Jesus at work? Where are the places that might not look like much right now, but where God is actually working, where there's an abundance of the Holy Spirit waiting to be discovered? Because Jesus is there. Jesus is at work. That's the story of Easter. That's the story of grace. That's the story of love. Even when we have nothing, Jesus shows up. Even when it seems like loss and death, and Jesus dead in the tomb is what's happening, Jesus shows up. Even when it seems like our lives aren't good enough, or worthy enough, or together enough, Jesus shows up. So let's stop falling into the temptation that we need abundance for Jesus to show up, that we have to catch 153 fish first, that Jesus is only there in the good. Jesus didn't just show up here when we started digging and building and walls went up on a new addition. Jesus was here 2 years ago when it was just Pastor Dave and me and a few very dedicated tech people here alone on a Sunday morning, live streaming, and wondering if we were ever going to need the building we had, let alone more space for ministry again. Because during that time, Jesus was there, bringing the abundance of hope and perseverance and new ways to be community, even when everything seemed so different. Jesus shows up. Your life doesn't have to be successful for Jesus to show up. Jesus doesn't wait until you get the promotion or till your kid gets into a good college or the doctor's report comes back good or your marriage is happy or you buy your dream home to show up. Jesus shows up when you miss out on the promotion or your kid gets in trouble or the doctor calls with bad news or your marriage feels broken or you aren't sure you can afford your mortgage. Jesus shows up in those times and offers an abundance of his very self. That's what he did for those disciples on the beach, and that's what he does for us as well. So even in those times, even when you've been fishing all night and caught nothing, look around for Jesus, because you'll be able to proclaim like John, it is the Lord. That's the good news. Jesus shows up and brings an abundance, not just of fish, but of grace, love, hope, life, whatever it is we need. I want to close this morning with a blessing by Kate Bowler called A Blessing for When You Don't Feel Blessed. Blessed are we when we lose sleep over what troubles us, whose worries keep us watching the clock tick by, who have no energy to do anything but fret. The kingdom of God is here and now. Blessed are we drowning in grief, when wave after wave after wave crashes over us, who start to feel okay, then something reminds us of what we've lost, and we're pulled under once again. God promises to comfort us. Blessed are we who are silenced, who are afraid to speak up, who are forgotten and left out, who feel small, as though our work, our presence, our lives don't matter. The whole world is ours. Blessed are we starving for justice, when the world around us feels so unfair that we could scream, when no one seems to be listening, no one seems to care. May justice flow like a river. Blessed are we when someone hurts us, when we are offended and we don't return insult with insult. Instead, we forgive, recognizing the number of times we've needed to be forgiven. Blessed are we when we strip away all the extra, when we see the world as it really is, broken, tender, fragile, beautiful. Those are the same eyes that sees God in everything too. Blessed are we who walk the hard road, the winding one that doesn't opt for the shortcut of rage or resentment or unkind words, that doesn't pave over with trite niceties, but walks towards peacemaking. Blessed are we when facing hardships of all sorts. Blessed are we working to usher in God's kingdom of love, even when it's hard. Blessed are we, the imperfect and don't have it all together, God's beloved. It's us, normal and everyday humans, that Jesus comes as one of us and lives among us. And he makes friends with disciples, and he teaches, and he heals, and he shows up when it looks like there's nothing and provides abundance.